Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
Man, I've got that itch again with, I know Sandy tired of it. Hi, Sandy. Sandy's here. But, I know Sandy had to tire of it. I know my kids still tease me about it, but we'd be in town, and we had rented an old warehouse at 41st and Memorial that, really honestly, I still want to. It's like, man, I'd go buy that building, and I don't know what we'd do with it, but I just want to have it and not have somebody else in it, I guess. But you know, it's kind of one of those things, like the home you grew up in. You know, I thought about that a few years ago. I thought, you know, I'd buy that house I grew up in, and I went and visited that house, and I met the people that bought it from my parents. There's only been two different families live in that house, and after I left there, I thought, nah, I don't want that house. but it's interesting because I drive by buildings and think, oh my gosh, I think that could be a great church. I think we could put a church there. And you know, Taylor was young at that time, and He began to do it too. He began to say, you know, I think that'd be a great church. I think you think so? He goes, yeah, I don't know about the entrance and the egress. I don't know about the, I'm like, he's a boy. And you know, he just had heard it so many times, but it just seems like these towns that I drive through and we rode, a few of us rode our Harleys yesterday and just went out for lunch and went to a little old town. And I just thought, oh my gosh, do they need a church here? And that's all I can think now. That's all I can think is the hope of mankind. I believe rests, the salvation hope of mankind rests on the local church. And you know, if there's a, I love the church, I'm committed to the church. But you know, a lot of times I've known in our history in 23 and a half years, we've needed refreshing a few times, haven't we, Sandy? We needed to freshen things up and make things new and kind of retrend a little bit what the church is doing. And then there's these communities I see that a lot of times don't have that capacity. And man, but I'll tell you, the real motivator for me are y'all, people in the church that have got something turning in them, something stirring in them about a church. You know, what's going on in Sepulpa. AJ and Mariah Clara Coper are, you know, they sold their house in Midtown. I don't know about you guys, but a 28 or 30-year-old couple buys a house in Midtown. It's kind of a dream starter home for them, I think, something they probably had dreamed of for years. And the next thing you know, they sell that house, and it sells. And they now they're looking for a house in Sepulpa, and I think they're going to build a house. And, you know, they've rented an apartment near Sepulpa so that they can be handy. And Saturday they went out and just invited people, gave people invitations to church, and just talked about the new church to people in Sepulpa, and just raving reviews, just amazing response and feedback from people. And I want to let you know, the next two Saturdays we're going to be doing the same thing. There'll probably be some work days at that church. I know the floor needs to be sealed and waxed and polished, and a few other things need to happen, but you know, the build-out's complete, and that building is ready for church. We could have had church there today, but we set a launch date for March the 13th, and I want you to be praying about that, please. And I'll just tell you, I know for AJ and Mariah feel like that somebody's handed them a million-dollar opportunity, and I believe that too. You know, a lot of things that we offer here as a church, I'll just kind of let you in on the science and strategy of it. The Second Mile Ministry Training Program right here in the local church. You can be discipled and trained in entry-level ministry every Sunday night here. We have an internship here that's a year-long, it's a year-long strain. I mean, I honestly, for me, let's find out what's in us. Let's find out what's in you. And that's what that internship does. It strains you to find out really, truly what's in you. And it has had remarkable results in the last 15 years. You know, and these church plants, these church launches, I think about us for, and I know we call them church plants, and it's funny, it's hard for me to call something like this a church plant because for us, Sandy, I've never heard Sandy refer to it like this, but for me, it's like we had to gnaw through concrete to make it happen. I mean, it was like that. And I want you to know that the devil doesn't like what we're planning on doing in Sepulpa. He really doesn't. And I need you to be in prayer and before God on it. Let's just saturate it with intercession and prayer and just believe God for what God could truly do in that community, what God could do in AJ Mariah's life and their team. And I also believe that this, I want to prophesy this, that this church launch in Sepulpa is going to slingshot other couples and other teams and other people to plant and launch other churches in towns that might be dry and a little barren of the gospel. The life-changing message, has God changed your life? Has his word made an indelible mark on your life? And there's people that would look at you and kind of cock their head and think, what are you talking about? God changing my life, his word making a mark on my life. I'll tell you, you know, it's interesting because you'll hear people, and maybe not as often now as you used to, that they talk about the mark of the beast, you know, and the people that take the mark of the beast. Do you understand? But by engrafting God's word in our heart, we've taken the mark of the living God. Do you understand that? And seeing the same thing that about the mark of the beast that withholds things from you, that the mark of God benefits you with everything that God has. See, because the way God operates, he operates by his kingdom. And the way this works is, and the world is a kingdom too. It's just a kingdom of darkness. But the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God's son, the kingdom of light, it's inherently opposite of the world. It's opposite of the kingdom of darkness. So if you think about now that I read the Gospels and Jesus will say, you've heard it said, but I say to you. See, what God wants to do initially in your life is he wants to reroute your life. He wants to get you back on track. Remember, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man gets to the Father except through me. So I want to get you on track. I want to get you on the right way to get to God. See, and then we are able to live his truth and receive his life. See, the rerouting of our lives and getting us in a place of overwhelming peace. And you know that word peace in the Greek and even the Hebrew, that word peace that's translated peace is also synonymous with the word translated prosperity. And that's what scriptural, biblical prosperity is peace. It has nothing to do with the amounts of money. It has nothing to do with your possessions. It has nothing to do with your resource. It has everything to do with the peace that's in your life. And the Bible say, what good is a man to gain the whole world yet lose his soul, yet never experience that peace, never have that peace, and much less eternal peace. And the idea that we get it in this is that, man, God's got a better way, not just a different way, but a better way for us to live. There's a better way. You know, with Jesus as Lord of your life, with God's Holy Spirit, you having been immersed in God's Holy Spirit, it makes you better than you were. Man, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you now. It occupies your life. Man, you have to understand this. You have to, because the fiery darts of the evil one, are they going to point out the mistakes that you still make? How many of you guys still make mistakes? Anybody in here still make mistakes? How many of you guys still have bad thoughts and you'll say something, you're like, oh my gosh, I never should have said that. And we look at this and we have to understand that the idea of it is that God will never leave us nor forsake us no matter what. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been. You know, and I know for most of you guys, I'm preaching to the choir, I really am. But I know for some of you guys that the devil will try to twist you up and knot you up and for you to have to think, I've got to get my life right. I got to get things right before I can go back to church, before I can get my life back to church. Some of you guys are thinking, oh, the church, all they want is my money. Man, all they want is for me. And let me just tell you, I want to turn that around here in this church. Man, I want to make sure that everyone who comes in here knows that we're here for them. Man, they don't have anything that we need, nothing that we want. We're not extracting anything from anybody in here. Man, we just want to give as much as we could possibly give to every person that comes in here. See, the amazing thing is that, man, God's hands on our lives, and his ways aren't our ways. His ways are unnatural. See, they're supernatural. But they're not natural to us. God's way of for us to think, God's way for us to speak, God's way for us to talk, God's way for us to operate in marriage, God's way for us to raise our kids. You know, we preach the kingdom. We preach, listen, and the kingdom is simply the king's domain, which loosely translates God's way of doing things. That's what we preach, God's way of doing things. And the way to meet your spouse, the way to be promoted. But you know what the world offers is a lot of worry, is a lot of concern. You know, we're in a big election week right now. And there's a lot of worry, there's a lot of concern. Oh my gosh, we've got to make the right decision. And I want you to think about who God is in our lives. I want you to think about God's will. The good and perfect will of God that's in your life. That listen, isn't within arm's reach of you. It's in your heart and it's in your mouth, is what the word says. See, his will is in our heart, it's in our mouth. Man, it's that easy. We've got to stir that thing up in us, and it's just got to come out of our mouth, and that's how it materializes in our life. But see, a lot of times worry and worry is just kind of the little brother of fear. Worry gets you in a route of fear. You know, where God's word gets you in the route of faith, worry gets you in the route of fear. And one thing that Jesus said in Matthew, the 6th chapter, he said, therefore, don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things that the Gentiles seek, just think about what everybody in the world, what we are seeking. He said, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Okay, number one is going to be the first little point here this morning is, it's gonna be so simple, but I want you to know God knows what you're going through right now, what you're dealing with right now, the pain that's been inflicted upon you, the heartache that you're enduring. God knows, absolutely, God knows. He's not ignorant of it. But see, where we have to be is, we have to be in a place that we trust and see that the Lord is good. The Bible even refers to it in one place as that we taste and see. See, to put something in your mouth, you have to trust it. You know, you have to trust who made this. How many cats do they have? It's interesting because I think 2020 or Primetime or one of those shows did something years ago about food and food and restaurants you can trust. And after all this research, they decided they saw it. They said there's one indicator that you can have. They said, go to the restroom in that restaurant, and that's what the kitchen's gonna look like. That's what the shape that the restroom is in is the shape that the kitchen's in. Man, there's places that I go now, and it's funny because Kennedy, when she was little, our baby Kennedy, who's 20, when she was little, every restaurant we went into, she said, I gotta go potty. And I'm like, you can't have to go potty. You just went potty. I have to go potty. You know why? Somehow she was enamored with the restrooms. She wanted to go wash her hands. She had to soap up. It was like she was going into surgery, not going to lunch. And she's washing up. But it caused me, that report and my experience with Kennedy caused me, there's restaurants that it's like the food's okay, everything's good, but I don't like it. I don't want to go there. And I realized because that one little seed that was sown in my memory, in my mind, about the restroom being identical to the kitchen, it's like, I don't want to eat here. And it's because you have to trust to be able to taste. See, trust and see that the Lord is good. And here's a pivotal point that I want to make that I don't think we really truly have a bead on. But this isn't something that we're trying to figure out. God, his presence, his purpose. It's something you have to experience. You try to explain to somebody what being born again is. It's you have to experience it to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You have to experience it to trust God's word. You have to experience it. Man, there's so many people that'll try to explain away the power of God's word. Explain away the history, and it can't be infallible because it came through man's hands. But we all know that it was inspired. It wasn't men who wrote it. It's not men. The Bible even goes so far, Paul says that, man, what I say, it's God speaking through me. Man, there's times in this service I've experienced in my life. You probably experienced in your life where God uses you and the words that you say to people. That's why the Bible says it's so important that the type of words and the attitude behind your words. Season your words. Make sure it's palatable for those that are listening and not just you trying to drive your point home. The 33rd verse of Matthew 6 is Jesus just saying this, but seek first the kingdom of God. Man, God knows what you need. God knows what the Gentiles are seeking. God knows that you have need of all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God. Listen, and his righteousness. And he said, all these things will be added unto you. Man, think about that. What if that's the truth? What if today you experience that promise right there? You know, because the first word of this passage changes everything. When Jesus said, but, he flipped it to the kingdom. He flipped it from the way the world operates to God's way of doing things. He flipped it, but seek first God's way of doing things and his righteousness, his right standing. What makes us righteous? Nothing that we can do. Nothing that we can say. There's not a price that we can pay. There's not a sacrifice that we can make to be righteous. The only thing that makes us righteous is our trust. We have to trust God. We have to trust him. We have to see God in the situations that we're in right now. The hurt that you're enduring, the pain that you have, the issues of your life. You have to understand, you're gonna see God in them, and there's gonna be a breakthrough. Our God, write this down, our God is a God of breakthrough. And we receive that breakthrough by trust. Just trusting God. You know, we're at a time here in our church, a very strategic time, as a matter of fact. And you know, it's a time where we're in a capital campaign, a $3 million campaign. You've heard about it. Hopefully, you're not tiring of hearing about it, because I don't think we've saturated everything with it. But to me, it's not so much about what we can do as a church, but what this can do in people's lives and families, in people. And I want to explain that today. I want to give you a righteous viewpoint of seeking first the kingdom of God, seeking first his righteousness, the type of givers that God wants us to be. He doesn't just want you to be a giver. He said, look, don't judge, don't condemn, forgive, and then be the giver. See, there's righteous steps toward the way the kingdom operates in our giving. Do you see that? In Luke, the 6th chapter. But in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, it starts, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Now, listen, you have to look at this and you've got to dig a little bit in it. You've got to unpack it a little bit. We get it. Hey, whoever sows sparingly, grudgingly, will receive. Will the harvest will be sparing. But you give bountifully. But let each one, listen, give how? As he purposes in his heart. See, this is how, this is the linchpin for everything about the kingdom that's in our life. It's how we purpose in our heart that it's not just a serendipitous ministry opportunity we have once in a while or a miracle that happens in our life, but we live a life of ministry, therefore a life of miracles, because a life of ministry requires a life of trust. See, and so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Now listen, because this is going to get a lot deeper. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. The Greek word here is hilaros, H-I-L-A-R-O-S, where we get the word hilarious. See, it's the opposite of grudging. It's the opposite of I have to give. It's the opposite of I'm supposed to give. No, you know what? It's an opportunity to give. Why? Because now it's linked to the purpose of my heart. It's linked to who I truly am. I believe the way a man gives is the way a man lives. I believe that with all my heart, I believe that. Man, if it's sparingly or if it's grudgingly or if it's out of necessity. And I'll tell you this, and I'll tell you what's amazing about this, is that giving is relational. It really is. See, and with God, it's so relational. Man, how you give, some of you guys are in a place and you're like, man, I'm going through it. Some people, you're hanging on for your life. And I may not know that, but God does. Listen, remember the first point, God knows. God knows that you're hanging on for your life. But you know all he's saying today is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. Put God first in your life and your trust for God first. Purpose in your heart. Because our giving is relational, especially with God. Man, how many times? Because man, we give to people. The Bible says your gift will make a place for you. You give somebody a fine gift. You give somebody something. Man, it's like, oh my gosh. He just became one of my best friends. That's just incredible. It was so thoughtful. Man, I see it week in and week out in the distribution center. People so appreciative, but also people receiving your gift. You know, it's interesting. I walked through there last week, and what was rows and rows of shelving full of shoes and boots, flip-flops and sandals, running shoes, dress shoes, leisure shoes. And now it's down to a few hundred pairs of shoes throughout the whole year. See, you understand the purpose, as you purpose in your heart, man, we're not going to neglect the poor. We're not going to look past the poor. We know that the word says that those who give to the poor lend to the Lord. You know, we're going to make sure that there's purpose in it. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able, listen to this, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, okay, I've circled that those two words, that you. Let me reread it. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. It's not just talking about the work of the Lord. It's talking about the work of your life. That you have an abundance for every good work. Man, an abundance to increase the size of your home. An abundance to redo your kitchen. An abundance to purchase that truck. See, that's how this comes, but it can't be first in your life. That's how the Gentiles seek it. We don't seek it that way. Man, God cares about the stuff in your life. He doesn't want you caring about it and putting your trust. If you're caring about it, you need to trust that God cares about it. See, that's the angle that God takes on this, because God is relational. God's power, his favor, his provision, they're all linked to our heart as givers. That's all Paul's saying right here. And it's interesting because there's people Some people in here, you have a gift of giving. And I don't want you to raise your hand, but I want you to really, really think about your life and the purpose of your life. Is a part, an aspect of the purpose in your life to give? The gift, like there's a gift in you to give? Well, you know what? People that have a gift to give, when they activate that gift, also have a gift to receive. If you have a gift to give, you have a gift to get. See, that it just becomes amazing. You look at people that tithe, that give, and I look at just for me and Sandy right now, when we started tithing and giving, it really didn't amount to that much. Now it shocks me how much it is. I know it has to shock you how much you give, how much your annual gift is, how much, but see, the thing is, it's as we purpose in our heart, and it all boils back to trusting God. Why? Because God knows. If we go a little further here in 2 Corinthians 9, and let's look at verse 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed that you've sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Let me tell you some words that should jump out at you, should grab a hold of you in this verse. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower, so God supplies seed and bread, right? Not just seed or bread, but seed and bread. Money for you to sow, provision for you to sow, money for you to live, provision for you to live. See, now listen, but it says, supply and multiply the seed you have sown. Do you see that? See, this is the relationship that we have with God. When you sow, I think about it all the time. I think, oh my gosh, I've got seed in the ground. But God doesn't just supply that seed that I've sown. Is that seed, that there's a harvest in that seed, but he also multiplies that seed. See, and that's how this works. That's how the increase and the overflow of the kingdom comes into our life. Because see, listen, remember Luke, the 6th chapter. Don't judge, don't condemn, forgive and give, and God will give back to you. And then what's the description there? Good measure. Okay, that's cool. Good measure. Press down. What's the next? Shake it together. And then we get to this place, but I think that we look at it that God gives back to us good measure and we stop and we walk away. What if, when it comes to the things of God in our life, what if we lingered a little bit? What if we did? You know, I used to tell people a lot before we had Next Steps, before we even had a membership, people would ask me, they'd say, man, what can I start doing? I said, what do you mean? Oh, I've come to church now 4 or 5 times and man, I love it. How many of you guys ever had that feeling? You came to church 4 or 5 times, man, I love it. Let me tell you what I tell people. Here's what you do. Why not next week, why don't you come about 15 minutes early and stay about 15 minutes late? Just linger a little bit. Just see what happens. Man, the people you meet, the things that you see, you pick up on, the change that happens in your life, the little, the barbs and the thorns get lopped off on your stem. And you look at it, but it's don't judge. Don't condemn, forgive and give, and God will give back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, so your life is consumed with running over. See, what I truly believe is that when this becomes revelation in our life and it's something that we live, our life becomes a life that we live in the running over part. That's what I believe. I believe it's all about the running over part. See, that we give because of the increase that's in our lives. Man, that's God's plan. The tithe initially came for us to give from the first fruits of all of our increase. And it's not a tax. It's nothing you lose. It's that it goes from your account on earth to your account in heaven. And which one are you going to put your trust in? See, most people put their trust in their account on earth. I can't afford it. I don't know that I can give. Oh, that there's a best gift offering in the church, Sunday the 13th, 20th, and 27th. People, man, you gotta look at it, man. What are we gonna do? How are we gonna do it? Man, I'll just tell you, just your best gift. But see, you're taking that best gift, and A, we're launching the capital campaign with it, but B, I believe we're launching something miraculous in your life. And that miraculous is, what happens is it puts you in a place where you've purposed in your heart, you're giving cheerfully, hilariously. Man, I'll tell you, when you see the things that you give to when they're built, you're gonna be walking by thinking, oh my gosh, that is amazing. That's the most amazing playground I've ever seen for kids. See, that's what my hope is. See, my hope is that this just starts a revolution of attractional, listen, of attractional church in this part of town, where this becomes a destination for people. Whether it's the sanctuary, whether it's other sanctuary, whether it's church plants, the kids' church, the distribution center. But God supplies seed and bread. In verse 11, while you're enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs to the saints, listen, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry of giving, the proof of this ministry, therefore glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. See, it always comes back to God's power that comes into your life. People say, man, how have you gotten through that? And how have you dealt with that? And man, how has this happened? And man, how is your life so blessed? Man, why? It's because of God's grace that you've received in your heart. And that grace that abounds toward you. Exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. See, it goes back to our giving unleashes God's gift into our life. What if this grace that I speak of, what if this grace, the most powerful provision that's ever hit this planet is the grace of God? What if this grace abounds in your life and becomes an indescribable gift? See, that's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm believing God for. Ephesians 1, Paul writes, says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him. And verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And it just goes back to the simple statement, trust and see. See, that's how we see this, we trust. That's how we experience this, we trust. Man, that gives us power, that gives us provision. Man, that opens up doors. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Here's a few takeaways. Just a few takeaways for you today. You could write them down. You could take a picture of them. But the takeaways are simple. That we trust and see that the Lord is good. We trust it. We see that he's good. People who have the gift of giving have the gift of receiving. God supplies seed and bread. We have to trust and see that the Lord's good. And God's power, his favor, his provision, and everything that God has for us. This isn't about money. This isn't about fundraising. This is about enriched life. This is about taking my life. This is what I'm believing God for. I'm believing God through this capital campaign that the container of my life, the capacity of my life goes like this. You know, what we have to take to God goes from like this to like this. Here's what I offer you. I offer you my life, God. I offer you who I am. I offer you what I have. God, that which I have, I give to you. Because that's exactly what God said to me. What God says, look, all that I have, I give to you. How God pours out his blessing upon us, It's always, and the word's always abundantly. Translated abundance and abundantly. But you know what? In the Greek, it's superabundance and superabundantly. See, that's what God has for us. Man, God's got a life for us to live, and it's a kingdom life. It's not a life determined by what's happening in the world. You know, it's interesting because you'll hear things about America today. And people say, man, it's never been this bad. And I think about other times in America, the Revolutionary War, that wasn't just colonists fighting the British, but it was colonists fighting the British and other colonists. I think about the Civil War. I think about the racial unrest and the race riots in the 50s and 60s. And I think about what the war in Vietnam did to America, did to so many young people, so many people looking at it, not understanding that kind of war anymore, where media comes into play, where we saw pictures and videos. Man, and it's just ramped up and ramped up and ramped up and ramped up to where now it's like, oh my gosh, what's going on in the world? Let me tell you, you were born for a time such as this. You're on the earth today because of the issues that are on the earth today. We're here with the answer, and his name is Jesus. No matter what the problem is, no matter what the issue is, the answer is always Jesus. And the answer is Jesus in your life today. I'll tell you, if Jesus would walk into this room today and he'd stand up on this stage, do you know what he'd say? He'd ask you one simple question: what can I do for you? You might be obviously blind, filthy, dirty, and crusty, scuffed up. Jesus would look at you and say, what can I do for you? And you know what? Your heart begins to open a little bit. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, that's such an awkward question. What can you do? What can you do for me? Can you help my marriage? What can you do for me? My kid's lost. Can you help me with my child? What can you do for me? Man, I'm lonely. I don't know what to do. What can you do for me? There's a depression in my life that the world wants to medicate that I want a breakthrough in. What can you do for me? And you know what? He leaves that door open for us right here and right now. What can I do for you? He says, that which I have, I give. What do you need? Where's that missing element? What's that void that's in your heart? Because all of us have a void, have a cavity in our heart that only God can fill. And he can only fill it through his son, Jesus. See, that's God's heart. This right here is why we have church. This is why we start new churches. This is why we train up ministry. This is why we do a lot of events. I'll be real honest with you. We're an event church. We do a lot of events. We make things events. You know why? To rally people, get people involved, to train people up, get people oriented in the things of the kingdom where the world isn't so overwhelming to them anymore. What if you could leave here today and the world not be overwhelming to you? The problems in your home, in your business, in your finances, in your relationships, what if they're not overwhelming anymore? What if we take on the yoke of Jesus? That's easy, and his burden's light. See, that's the hope that we have. There's people watching on the internet right now. There's coaches, there's business people. Man, and it's all because of faithful people in this church that we provide those avenues of ministry. And that's all this is. And you know what I'd like to tell you? I'm very hopeful. But I'll tell you, the bottom line is, if we're faithful in what's little, God will give us much. If we're faithful in what's little, God will put us before great men. God's hope to change the world is in your heart right now, is in you, the hope of glory.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.